This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, and it's good to see you on a Monday. Now, I know you said you, if you won the Mega Millions, you'd still be working.
I am.
But I saw the ticket was sold in Michigan, so I'm not optimistic that you're, in fact, the winner.
I did not win, but I have bigger issues than that.
Okay.
We'll get to the Mega Millions and the Powerball numbers and all that stuff. Let me just set the tone right from the beginning before we get into hoops and football news, because we do have some big football news to get to and great guests and all that great stuff. Just so folks know, we finished the show on Friday. And then right after the show, we do some stuff for ACC Network that appears over the weekend. So we tape some stuff. So we said goodbye on Friday. Hope everybody had a good weekend, all that good stuff. And I got my trusty phone, which I'm trying to lean off of. But nevertheless, so my wife texts me, Amy texts me, about 5 minutes before the show ended on Friday, that, hey, I've got to run some errands. The plumbers are going to call you because we have a plumbing issue here at the house. They're going to call you when they're on their way, but they've got your number. So I see that note right before our show ends. So I've got no problem with that. Put it on the side. So you and I are taping an At the Half segment right after the show on Friday. During the segment that we're taping, my phone rings. Not once, but twice. And I'm thinking, oh, for crying out loud, the plumbers are calling, but I can't get to it because we're doing this taping. So we get through the taping, all right? So I am assuming that the person calling me was the plumber. So I called, and as soon as we said goodbye, we finished our taping, we're good for the weekend, I called the number hoping that I didn't miss this plumber because they're hard to get a hold of. So I called the number, Wes. And the guy answers, hello. I said, hey, this is Mark Packer. How are we doing? You guys are on your way? He goes, oh, no, I don't know about on your way. I'm just calling you about this house you got for sale. And I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, this house up here. And he explains the address. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I'm not a realtor. He goes, well, you got to be a realtor. He goes, your phone number's right here on the sign. And I said, no. I said, you're crazy. I said, you're nuts. He goes, yeah. And so he barks out the number. I said, well, obviously you called me, so the number's got to be. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I said, whoever that is has got the wrong number. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not a realtor. All right, man, I was really interested in your house. I said, well, I wish you the very best. And I hang up. Phone rings again. I answer it. Yes, I'd like to inquire about the house on whatever, whatever drive. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not a realtor. And they were like, well, you know, your phone number's on the sign. I said, sir, I said, I believe me, I've got nothing to do with that house. I'm not selling a house. I'm not a realtor. I'm not in the real estate business. I said, whatever moron put that sign in the front for sale, put my phone number on it. And, well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. The house looks great. I said, well, I wish you the very best. Wes, the phone rings again. I got three phone calls by 10:15. And I finally, and this time it was a lady. And she goes, this is so-and-so, so-and-so. I'd like to inquire about the house on blah, 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 blah street. And I said, ma'am, I said, you are the third person to call me about this house. I said, could you tell me a little bit? Well, I was going to ask you about the house. I said, ma'am, no disrespect. I said, could you do me, I said, are you in front of the house? She goes, I am. I said, could you tell me the realtor? Because I am going to blister somebody here. I said, some idiot put my phone number by mistake on the for sale sign on the house. And you're the third person who's called me in 15 minutes. And I really don't want to put up with hundreds of phone calls, apparently, of this incredibly desirable home. Because if this is going to be the way my weekend's going, I said, I'm going to have to hit the brown water by noon. And I got to host a radio show this afternoon. So sure enough, she told me who it was. I called the realtor. I'm not going to tell you who it is. And I said, would you please.
Did you talk to the realtor?
I talked to somebody at the realty company. I'm not going to say who it is, not to embarrass them. But I said, could you
Is it Century 21? You know they're out of business.
I'm not going to confirm anybody. I'm telling you. to protect the idiots. And I said, could you please go to
Do you have an MLS number? Are you a licensed agent?
I am not. Not planning to. But maybe I should have just sold it. I should have just said, you know what? I'm a multi-trillionaire. I'm going to win Mega Millions this weekend. Here's the keys. Just go take it. You know, I should have said that. But, I mean, that was how my weekend started. And it literally got started with as we were taping at the half. All right? So there it is. So that was the tone of my weekend going into really what was a dreadful lottery selections and everything else. So I got that going for me. So that was kind of my Larry David moment from Friday. Can you believe that?
All right.
Unbelievable.
Yes. I can't believe it, but it always happens to you. Because I like to tell people who say, well, now, Mark, you know, I mean, he's at his house all the time. He says he never leaves the house. I said, yeah, but things continue to happen to him even though he never leaves the house.
But what a
and
great.
This is another example of things continuing to happen to you.
But, you know, I got that straightened out in the realtor. Oh, my God, we are so sorry. The digit was wrong. I mean, they did. They totally screwed it up. So when that finished up, I thought to myself, for future reference, you want to pull a prank on somebody you really don't like? That would be a great prank. That you just put a for sale sign of the person
that drives you nuts. What to help people out this morning.
I just thought about it. I was like, you know, you could drive people insane by putting the wrong phone number, but the right one that, for your sake, to just antagonize somebody. So that's what happened to me Friday. So that was basically the highlight of the weekend. How about that?
I do have one final question to ask of you. Are you going to seek a percentage of the commission for your troubles?
No, I want no part of it. I am not in the real estate business. I'm done. I have one piece
of house
property.
What kind of house you got on that market over there, Pac?
I have one piece of property.
How much was it listed for?
Wes, I have one piece of property, and I never leave it. I'm here 19 hours of the day. I know every square inch of the only piece of property that I own.
Some of us on this show are curious how much the house was listed for, and would you be willing to accept a couple percent of the percentage?
I want no part of it.
Percent commission, rather.
I just wanted my phone number off the for sale sign. I have nothing to do with owning it, selling it, getting a
cut
of it.
When did the call stop?
Burning it down or doing anything else. I have no part of it. I just want to be rid of that problem. So that's how I got my weekend.
When did the call stop?
That was it. They went out immediately. They apologized profusely. We will go out and I said, please do. I said, I really don't want to get, you know, dozens of phone calls about this incredible parcel of property that you guys are selling, because I've had three in the first 15 minutes of the day since you put it on the sign out there. Crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
What a crazy
That's pretty
world.
Awesome, by the way.
It's never. I got to be honest with you. I've never heard that story happen to anybody else before. Crazy.
And it would be, it's fitting that it's you, Mr. Warmth, sometimes when things are going well.
Oh, but I got, you know, I had stuff to do. Like, I'm waiting for the plumbers to call. I mean, when are the plumbers going to get? I'm trying to sell a house all of a sudden. I just want the plumbers to show up and straighten out our piece of property. Good grief.
When did the plumbers show? Did the plumbers show up?
Oh, yeah, they showed up. They did. They're great. Okay, and I'll plug those guys. They were awesome. But, man, the real estate issue was it was a nightmare. I told Billy that story because he's in the real estate. He was dying.
Let's move to hoops.
All right.
Let's move to hoops.
Speaking of disasters, my alma mater was in action again this weekend, weren't they?
Oh, see, now that's the wrong approach here. Let's talk about how good Florida State was, and we'll deal with the droves of Clemson here in just a moment. Florida State, who certainly – should be in the nation's top 25 later today when the AP top 25 poll comes out. The Noles impressive again beat Clemson 80-61 in Tallahassee. And the thing you need to know about Florida State is 21 straight home wins against the ACC, a streak that began better than 2 years ago. And when you look at this team, again, we've gone back to coming off a pause and shooting almost 71% against NC State. The Noles have not let up. They continue to be very efficient at the offensive end of the floor, and it's a collection of guys. It's not a singular guy. Meanwhile, as Pac says, the struggles for the Tigers continue. Clemson has come off of pause, and they have played two teams that shot the bottom out of it in Virginia and Georgia Tech. They've now gone to Florida State, who, quite frankly, might be the best team in the league. We'll get to Virginia in just a moment. And now the Tigers are potentially scheduled to play Boston College this week. We have yet to find out if the Eagles are coming off a pause. And then, oh, by the way, Duke on Saturday. And more on the Blue Devils and their desperation coming up here in just a moment. But Florida State Pack is looking legit. Clemson struggles are real. But remember what we said 10 days ago. The Tigers have a friendly second half coming up.
Yeah, there's a couple things here. I mean, Florida State's playing lights out, and I think you can make the case that Florida State is the best team in the league. Even though Virginia's got a zero in the L column, but those two certainly in the last week to 10 days have separated themselves, I think, from everybody else. I mean, it's a lock, and we still got games to play. Offensively, they're doing lights out stuff, but I want to concentrate on what they did defensively Saturday. Yeah, they had Clemson down 38. I mean, it was a woodshed for the umpteenth time, right? But, you know, they held Clemson to four made field goals in the first half. Four. Now, you can talk about the offense and guys making shots and all that stuff, and they are. Great balance, terrific D, but four made field goals. That is it for the Tigers at halftime. Again, Florida State had them down by 38. If you're looking for a silver lining for Clemson, who's been nothing short of brutal, really, since they've gotten back. I mean, they really have not played well in any of the three while the other teams have shot lights out. The good news for Clemson is they're done with Florida State. They played them twice. They're done with Virginia. Mm-hmm. They've already played them once. They are done with Virginia Tech, played them on the road. So it is a front-loaded schedule as far as the ACC race is concerned. So the good news is, yeah, the last week and a half, 2 weeks have been ugly. But if they could just somehow find a win, if it's BC Wednesday, if they play them, terrific. Stop the slide. Who knows with Duke? We'll get to the Blue Devils later on in the show. But they know that they have got to somehow get to February, because February should be a lot kinder than January, right? So they've got to somehow figure this thing out, because they are definitely in a funk. They went from giving up just over, 55, 56, 57 a game. And since they've gotten back, they're giving up 80s and don't even look like they're cohesive, period. So there's work to be done with Brad Brunell. But if you're Leonard Hamilton in Florida State, man, the Noles look really, really good.
Well, the Florida State situation here is starting to be a collective flex of what they did a year ago. And some of the names have changed, obviously. But at the same time, you start looking at this team top to bottom, and they're guys coming from everywhere now. You know, this is a little bit more than just MJ Walker and Scotty Barnes, right? We've now gotten to the point where Wyatt Wilkes has given them something solid, Raekwon Gray, Raekwon Evans. I mean, you start thinking Calhoun comes in, gives them some points. They're having a good time. He's done a beautiful job putting this group together. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, let me tell you someplace else you don't want to go on a free day. You don't want to be the opposing team getting off the bus at the Tucker Center.
That's right.
Because against the ACC at the Tucker Center, Florida State, COVID or not, has made that place a problem for road teams.
That's right.
An absolute problem. Especially this year where they're shooting the lights out of it.
Question for you. We thought it was embarrassing that the AP poll didn't have Florida State ranked last week. Surely they are in there this afternoon or tomorrow, whenever the AP poll comes out. And when they do appear, Wes, I don't want to see them like sneaking in at 24, right? I mean, if you don't think that's a top 15 team, I'm sorry. I think that team right now, and so I know Seth Greenberg said it over the weekend, they are an Elite Eight Final Four caliber team, and I agree with that. I mean, they got athleticism, they have size, they have guards, they got leadership, they got swagger. They feel like there's a chip on the shoulder with unfinished business from a team that could have made a Final Four run a year ago. I'll be curious to see where they debut in the AP poll when that's released this week, because I think it's going to be in the teens.
All right. I do too, and I think it's this afternoon. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts. I wouldn't be surprised 19. 15 wouldn't surprise me if they jump in 10 spots.
Yeah, they're that good.
Because to me, it's fairly deserved. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. All right, we'll come back, get cranked up. The story from Derby City on Saturday, still to come on Monday's edition of Packer and Durham. And also, Virginia and Georgia Tech from Saturday night all that and more. But the Cards survive at home against the Blue Devils, whose struggles continue next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. And no, my phone is not ringing off the hook for the next real estate deal.
Here I am with, that's right, one of us is a registered MLS agent.
Who
the
knew?
The other was not.
Who knew? Maybe I should bring out my Century 21 Monday Night Football blazer. Start selling every house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
See my name pop up everywhere. Good grief.
Once again, what's that number for people to call if they're interested in houses in the Charlotte area again?
Oh, my God. What a nightmare. All right, we got important things to address. Louisville and Duke. How about that game? You knew it was a big deal, right? We hyped it all week where we said, hey, somebody's walking out of the Yum Center with a three-game losing streak. And, man, you know, coming down the stretch, it was anybody's game. You figured it was going to be close, Wes, and it was. Exactly what you thought.
Yeah, and not clean, not perfect, but yet highly competitive, wasn't it? I mean, fun to watch. Shots back and forth. There were a couple stops here and there, you know. Man, I thought Louisville really kind of grew up a little bit in this ball game too. Withers was really good. I'm impressed with the emergence of that young man for Chris Mack. Carlique Jones, Pack.
Legit.
Look now, I mean, Radford, we know Big South the whole bit. Heck, I was the voice of the Highlanders for 3 years back in the day. But I'll tell you this. He's got a game that'll travel up the ladder in college basketball. He's become all ACC-ish for sure, in my opinion. I mean, he's become a guy that I don't have a problem writing down in the first five in terms of all conference because I think he's really, really good, really good.
Let me ask you this, and totally off the beaten path, but given what happened this weekend with Louisville basketball, who do you want the ball in your hands with 30 seconds to go in a tie game? Carlique Jones or Dana Evans?
Oh.
Because they got them both.
Oh, man.
Cards got them both.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You know, this guy's got a – and Dana Evans does too, and that's the gift of players of the – and by the way, they you know just both tremendous players here. But the thing about Jones is, like Dana Evans, he understands. He's got a – I mean, Duke went zone, and look, there's the jab step and step back, right? I mean – he's got to feel, how can I free myself to get the shot? And, oh, by the way, when can I drive? You know, I mean, he's got the feel for that. And that's the part that when you watch him play, you're like, man, he's got, for a guy who's a grad transfer, and everybody around him gets better. Now, here's the other thing, too. Look at what they did defensively. I thought Jay Billis did a really good job of talking about this during the course of the game, too. When they put David Johnson on Matthew Hurt, It created a situation for Hurt. It was harder for him to get shots even with a guy 3-4 inches shorter on him defensively. Now, Hurt hit some tough shots in the second half for Coach K, but the reality of it is that switch defensively also helped the Cards significantly as well.
And this is why biggest word in sports, if Louisville can get healthy, with Jones and Johnson in the backcourt, they can be a problem. I'm not talking about the league. I'm talking about big picture. Because if you've got great guard play, you can run deep in the tournament. And I think that's one of the things about Louisville. They're not perfect. Nobody is, right? But they've got the potential to being a real problem once they get 100% healthy. But that's going to be a big if. They got to do that in February. But, man, that was a huge win for Louisville. And the flip side for Duke it leads to a lot of questions, right?
Well, three straight losses for the Blue Devils is the one thing that jumps off the page. Duke had a chance late in the ball game, couldn't get a couple of, threes to drop. So, therefore, it ends up being a five-point game at the end. They're 1-6 in their last seven road games versus 19-6 in their previous 25. And here's the other thing, too. It's become details as much as it's become anything else. And look, this is the hand you've got for this year. I mean, it's not like there's a waiver wire out there or a free agency situation. The Blue Devils are who they are at this point. And it's when I say details, we're getting down to the details of other things happening. Like, for instance, Coach K, after the ball game, talking about free throw shooting.
In the last four games, it's kind of crazy. You know, our opponents have shot about 100 free throws and we've shot 50. You know, and so are we using our hands too much? Are we, you know, we have to evaluate that. Are we putting our opponents in a position where they can foul us? But that's an extraordinary differential. And I've never had that with our program. In fact, most of the time, you know, we shoot more free throws. I mean, never that much more. I mean, that's an incredible amount. That's an incredible amount. So, and look, I'm not saying we're getting messed over or anything. There's got to be some reason for that. it's too big. Too big of a difference.
Oh, so you asked for a reason. Well, I've got just the solution. It's called Pac-Man's...
Coach, you've come to the right place.
Pac-Man's infamous ACC index card. Been doing this for a long time, Coach, like you have. I'm not saying anything other than the numbers are the numbers. And when it comes to free throw attempt margin and who's doing the best job and who's not, here are the updated numbers. Miami, Notre Dame, and Pitt have gone to the line 33 more times in their ACC opposition. The flip side, the bottom end of the league, Florida State's 13th, Syracuse is 14th. And, Coach, you would be right. You would be accurate in your observation. You are dead last. 42 fewer free throws by the Blue Devils than their ACC opponents this year. So, Coach K, very observant. Guy's a Hall of Famer. He knows what he's talking about. And that, Wes Durham, is the true definition of the infamous ACC index card.
All right. Let's drill down here real quick in the final couple minutes we've got on this. Is this a situation of Duke not having a Jahlil Okafor, a Marvin Bagley, a Cherokee Parks, a proven on-the-block postman? Is that what this is more than anything else?
It's part of it. I mean, that and the fact that they have defended so poorly in K's traditional man-to-man defense that they had to go zone because teams are going directly to the rim. Ole, ole. I mean, it was no stopping going from point A to point Z. And when that happens, you end up reaching. Right. You don't move your feet. I mean, everything K talked about. They're at number one. I'm not using this as an excuse. They are young. They have not played a whole lot. They took time off in December. The way the schedule broke, they took time off in January. They kind of been playing from behind. They don't have a presence at the rim.
Yep.
They're not great on the perimeter. I mean, it's a combination of all the above. It's not that Coach K stopped coaching, doesn't know what he's doing. Guy's brilliant what he does. So, hey, hopefully you get better as the year goes on. But right now, they've been exposed. They're 5-5. That's exactly who they are.
Mark, they have only played 10 ball games. That's tied for the fewest amount played in the ACC.
Right.
Wake Forest has also only played 10, and they went 33 days without playing a game.
Right.
Carolina has played 15. Virginia Tech has played 14. Duke is still a work in progress, and I know it's crazy to say that in the last week in January, but that's kind of where this is, I think.
It's why I kept saying the last 2 weeks, Duke, we got to see Duke play. I mean, you know, and going, you know, walk through drills, practices, that's not playing. You got to go play. And Duke's going to get better. I mean, they got really good young players. They got a great coach, great staff. They will get better as the year goes on. But, hey, you take summer away, and there's no excuses. It is what it is. Yep. You don't get the 4 or 5, you know, Ole cupcake games against marshmallows and like everybody else. You don't get a chance to get into a rhythm, find out who can do what. I mean, tag, you're it. So Duke's going to have to figure it out. Right now, they really don't have any quality wins. And when you start talking about the NCAA tournament, there is a ton of work to do. Doesn't mean they can't get there, but they need to start picking it up this week. Got to start winning some games.
Yep, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's an interesting season on so many different fronts, and now we have the storyline of a slowly improving Duke team, or a team that is slower maybe to develop than most. combination of things. One, not as many games. Two, different roster, certainly, than what they had in the past. I mean, I see bright spots. I mean, we can talk about Matthew Hurt, Jalen Johnson coming back to form. I thought DJ Stewart was pretty good the other day at times. I mean, that's the kind of thing you're looking for. Has it worked out for the older guys to step up and deliver some of the intangibles that we thought we might see? Not necessarily. That's also a sidetrack to maybe where you are at 5-5 as a team and 3-3 in the ACC. I guess the good news is you're still only 3-3 in the league, which technically makes you, what, three games back in the loss column? And, Pac, we haven't quite reached the midway point. We're close to the midway point, but we're not there yet.
Yeah,
of whatever the midway point is.
But this is what I'm also trying to point out last week. Let's also be realistic about Duke. When you watch Florida State play, when you watch Virginia play, they're at a different level. And Duke right now, this second on January the 25th, they're not in the neighborhood. So that mean you can't win a bunch of games in February and get in the NCAA tournament and get better as the year goes on. That's going to have to be the to-do list. But right now, Duke is a middle-of-the-pack, at best, ACC team. It's where they are.
Yep. Good point. All right. Stick around, because when we come back, we will flip to a very busy Sunday in the ACC, full of game winners and tight fits on the ladies' slate. NC State and Louisville wait till the end to pick up victories. We're back after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It is a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. There's still a bunch of men's games to recap from the weekend. And we got the potential showdown of 1-2 coming up this week with women's basketball. As a matter of fact, Wes Moore will join us later on, the NC State coach. And let me tell you something, Wes. Things got a little dicey yesterday at the top, because number one and number two were in absolute frightening, scary, hold on for dear life moments. Both of them were pushed to the brink yesterday.
Yeah, let's start in Raleigh, where, I mean, next time we're going to have Kenny Brooks on, it's going to be a therapy session, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Because Virginia Tech has put teams on the ropes and have them wiggle off the knockout. And yesterday, just the latest example, NC State trailing Virginia Tech by 12 with 5:11 to play and found a way. A 16-0 run. My goodness. Wolfpack has three 20-point scorers in a game for the first time this year. Ja'Kia Brown-Turner leads the way. And they find a way, 89-87, to win their 16th straight ball game for Coach Moore, who will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, about 9:15 this morning.
And you mentioned the flip side with Virginia Tech, and I pointed out last week, they've lost games by 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 points. Add another 2-point loss. I mean, it's been amazing for the Hokies how close they are of really having a phenomenal, like top 10 kind of year. And it just seems like anytime it's close, they have found ways to somehow come up on the losing end. But, man, they had NC State in deep, deep trouble yesterday, as you pointed out, till that 16-0 run. The Hokies will get somebody. Kind of talked about it with Wake Forest men's basketball program last week. They're going to get somebody. And you just kind of feel that way for Virginia Tech. They're kind of due for just a big, big, giant win. But, man, NC State. This is what good teams do, though, Wes. You find ways to win. And NC State maintains their number two ranking. Again, we got the showdown later. I can't wait. 1-2, but they got to get there first. And they're finding out it's not easy to do.
No, no. And it's, I mean, we're hoping this February 1 game happens.
Next
and
week.
Along the way to February 1, we are now seeing both teams get pushed. Why? Because, well, Liz Kittley, great ball game, by the way, for Virginia Tech yesterday. Here's the other note. Louisville got put to the wire by Wake Forest. The Deacons, Jen Hoover's team, they've got Jeff Walls on the ropes. But who answered the bell? Dana Evans, again. I mean, the ACC's reigning player of the year and clearly one of the best players in the country. It's a game-winning shot. And here go the Cards.
And that's it.
Right breaking there. A 63 all tie. Yeah, great that game was, with Jen Hildreth and Kelly Gramlich on the call. How about this shot?
That was not an easy shot. And, again, defense is all over it, and she just makes a shot, and swishes the free throw to go up by two. So a three-pointer with 8 seconds to go, ball game, and Wake got a shot for three at the buzzer, didn't go in. But, man, this is just clutch. Dana Evans is – like I said to you in the first segment, there's 30 seconds to go in the game. Yep. It's all tied up. Louisville's got two point guards that are just bad. I mean, they're just awesome. Put the ball in their hands, right? Doesn't matter if it's Carlique. Doesn't matter if it's Dana. They're going to make something happen. But, man, that was a gutsy win by number one yesterday.
Yeah, 25 points, game winner for Dana Evans. Louisville survives. Not surviving was Syracuse.
Yeah.
The Orange see Clemson run off to a huge lead early in the ball game. They make a furious comeback to get it to overtime. And in the overtime, Kendall Spray continues to lead Clemson. She finishes with 24, and the Tigers get the upset 86-77 without their leading scorer available and one other starter for Amanda Butler. So congratulations to Clemson playing shorthanded. Tigers get a 9-point victory over Quentin Hillsman's team yesterday at Little John.
Kind of weird there, right? Up 25 at the half. You're thinking, man, great win. This thing's over. And Cuse comes right back, ties that thing up in the second half. Yep. And again, you mentioned the overtime session. Quite a week for Clemson. The overtime game with Florida State in Tallahassee actually was a double overtime game that the Noles ended up winning. And then another overtime thriller at home against Syracuse. So again, we keep talking about that cluster with the men at the top, with the ladies. Hey, we know about number one and number two. Syracuse has been ranked in the top 25 all year. And then you've got kind of a women's glob, if you will, of who's going to break down the door and crank themselves up and get in the top 25. So there's always some kind of storyline with the ladies now, big time.
Well, and Amanda Butler, who yesterday was her 18th ball game against AP top 25 teams since taking over as the Tigers head coach. And yesterday, in the first 17, she'd gone 2-15, and then Sunday, she kind of broke the mold, to be honest with you. In the previous 17 games, Clemson had averaged under about 60 points a ball game. Yesterday, obviously had overtime, but scored 86 in getting the win. So, nice change of pace. And again, as I noted, playing a little shorthanded without their leading scorer and other starters as well. So, all that being said, congratulations to Clemson. It just goes to show you how good a fight this might be on the ladies' side. North Carolina beat Notre Dame yesterday, 78-73, the final there. Stephanie Watts, a huge ball game. Just a huge game. She becomes the first third player in Carolina history to go 25-10-5 in a ball game, joining Alicia Gray and Erlana Larkins from 7 and 15 years ago, respectively. Big win for Carolina.
And there's a team like Georgia Tech that's playing extremely well, too. Found a way to beat Florida State. Yep. That could have gone either way. I mean, the league, again, produces really entertaining basketball, men's and women's, just about every single night that they play. I mean, there's going to be a storyline. And the storyline, though, with the ladies starts at the very, very top. And 1 week from today, God willing, we do get number one against number two with Louisville and NC State, a game that got postponed and then thankfully rescheduled. So hopefully we get that game coming up a week from today, February 1st. You heard me. February 1st is a week from today.
Right.
Let's go, Tom.
All right. Before we get to next Monday night, maybe we give you some more ACC women's basketball coming up on Thursday, along with Wes Moore coming up at 9:15 this morning. But how about some women's basketball on Thursday night, Pac? See, don't you love the synergy of this show? We start at 6 o'clock, Georgia Tech on the road at Miami. Pac already told you, Jackets got a great win yesterday by 8 against Florida State. And then Courtney Banghart takes North Carolina to the KFC Yum Center to meet top-ranked Louisville. Thursday night starts at 6 o'clock, ACC Women's Hoops better than ever, right here on ACC Network and always on the ESPN app. When we come back this opening hour of Packer and Durham's Monday, we dive into State Carolina from Smith Center in Chapel Hill. And We go to the Dome where the Fighting Macris have caught fire. And Alan Griffin's playing like a pro. Back after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. And if your house was for sale, I hope it's sold. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We have more games to get into.
Stop it.
Including Stop it. A little showdown on Tobacco Road. Red and white of NC State, Carolina Blue, anytime they get together. I don't care what the sport is. It is going to be interesting, and there are always storylines. NC State was looking to sweep the Heels for the first time since the 02-03 season, Wes. But the Heels would have none of that. They were too good inside.
Yep, you're right about that. Carolina went to work inside, and it seemed like Armando Bacot and Dayron Sharp and Garrison Brooks finally played together, didn't it, Pack? Yeah. I mean, in kind of a weird way, all three guys seemed to be in rhythm offensively. Certainly helped on defense. And then the secret sauce for the Tar Heels emerged too, because Caleb Love had another good day shooting the ball, Mark.
Sure did. And I'm a big fan of Anthony Harris. I think he makes a difference too. You throw all that together, and North Carolina continues to play good basketball. This is a team that has certainly improved. And again, I keep going back to, we talked about Duke's issues beginning the show with all that stuff. They will get better. You got a Hall of Fame coach and really good talent. I trust the process. As the year goes on, you get better. North Carolina, without a doubt, is getting better. And for NC State, it was just good to see him on the floor again. I know it hasn't been pretty of late because talking about losing streaks, NC State's going to figure this thing out ASAP. But I was just glad to see Kevin Keats' guys back on the floor.
Yeah, no question. And NC State, you know, glad to be on the floor, glad to kind of keep the season going. Now, it is a tough run here, 2-4 and now 6-5 overall. So a little bit like Duke, a little bit like Clemson, right? You can't afford here to fall too far back. You're four back in the loss column. You're going to hear me say that a lot in the next week to 10 days because that's kind of the separator in this. We don't know how many games are going to get played. We can certainly look to that. Winning percentages are going to be crucial. So you want to kind of keep driving this thing. But in order to do it, you got to win ball games. But NC State, I thought Manny Bates played well. You know, he was kind of lingering a little bit with some of the ankle issues. But good to see Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack back out there. Let's go to the Dome, though. Because, I mean, Pack, is there a team shooting it better from the perimeter in two ball games than Syracuse? I mean, I know we've talked about Florida State. But I wouldn't want to go tangle with the Orange in a jump shot shooting contest, would you?
Well, when they're hot, they're good. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, I know that's an easy adage. I mean, you make shots, you got a chance to win. But that is the case with Syracuse. And they dominated inside. I mean, the crazy stat, they scored 78 points, but 64 of them came from either the free throw line or the lane. So, I mean, hey, when you're doing layups and making free throws all day, like your chances. And for the Hokies, this was kind of unusual. Really, other than the Penn State game, we really haven't seen them just get absolutely waxed. Now, they got waxed in this one. This was a Syracuse team that, as we pointed out last week, they're going through a stretch with 4 out of 5 at home. Now, granted, they play tonight against Virginia. We'll get into that later on. But Syracuse got to make a move right now. I mean, they had kind of reached the point, kind of where Duke and NC State and Clemson, you could say, are in that position where, hey, you know what? You got to start winning some games now if you're going to make some kind of run in the league and be an NCAA tournament team. Syracuse absolutely produced that on Saturday. That was a really, really important win for Jim Boeheim's guys, and they looked the part.
All right. By the way, for some of you on social media, you like to think that Packer and I are directly responsible for certain things after appear on our show.
Yeah.
Reminder, by the way.
Some guy. As
Clifford bangs around on the camera this morning.
Some guy on
Jalen Cohn's shooting inequities are not our responsibility at this point.
No. I mean, some guy was talking about announcers' curses. I said, you have me confused with somebody that cares. I don't know what you're talking about. You either make shots or you don't. I mean, I pointed out that Justin Champagne was on our show a week ago on Monday. The next night he had 31-14 against Duke. I mean, you know, kids will figure it out. And, you know, everybody's going to go through some slumps where you just can't make a shot. And Right now, Lumi and Cone had a tough day, but hey, they'll figure it out. I mean, they're too good of players. So Virginia Tech just had one of those games. They had it against Penn State where they just looked completely out of sorts. And quite frankly, Syracuse played lights out. But Cone is instant offense. And I know the game in Winston-Salem going back home, he wasn't great. It didn't have the kind of night he wanted. And it wasn't spectacular Saturday, but I trust him. And that guy can score. And he'll figure it out.
There have been Jalen Cones that have walked through the door of ACC basketball annals for generations. I can go back to Brian Maggett at Maryland, Kenny Matthews at NC State. I'll even throw Al Wood of Carolina in there. There have been others, too. Virginia's had some. I know Virginia Tech had some before they came to the league. They had Quentin Nottingham, I think, one time. Wally Lancaster was a great three-point shooter for the Hokies back in the day.
Don't forget.
When Bembo Coles played, I think, on those teams.
Don't forget Ernie Disco Graham, one of my all-time favorites from Maryland. Another one of those
I was going to throw Ernie Myers. I was going to throw our NC State buddy Ernie Myers in there, too, for guys who'd come off the bench and launch.
Yeah.
But let me say this about Jalen Cone and about the Hokies. Virginia Tech, like any basketball team, is going to be significantly better when the ball goes in the basket.
Right.
But in Mike Young's system, they have to shoot it well. They have to shoot it average to above average in order to be successful, given kind of the makeup of that team.
Right.
So when you don't shoot it well, you're already playing from behind the curve. Hokies are going to be fine. You don't shoot it well, it's going to happen, right? It's just going to happen.
Yeah, and, between Aluma and Cone, I mean, listen, you can look at the stats and go, oh, there's the reason why. Well, hey, to me, that was one game. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So I have been overall really impressed with Virginia Tech. Did they play well Saturday? No, they didn't, and they lost. So you move on. You get better. So I think if you're a Virginia Tech fan, as you're sitting here late January, if I would have asked you before the season started, hey, here's where you're going to be in the ACC, big picture, as we roll in the week of January 25th. Are you signing up for that? You're absolutely signing up for it. So they still have a really good club, and they're going to win a bunch of games. So, tough weekend. You'll get better. Life will be all right.
All right, let's go to Winston-Salem, right? How about Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, right? All of a sudden you're thinking, Wake Forest plays hard. We kept telling you last week. Right? Deacons give you great effort every time out.
Yep.
I put them 14th in accounting, even though they hadn't won a game, because I felt like they were getting there. Well, guess what happened? Saturday, they got there. Ishmael Massoud, the other night Isaiah Musius, then Saturday it became Ishmael Massoud Pack who stepped up and started knocking down threes.
The Deacs have not been able to put 40 minutes together. They'd given you some spikes. They'd give you a 30-minute effort, and then there would be 10 minutes where they just kind of disappeared. And we kept harping last week, they're going to get somebody. And lo and behold, here comes Pitt riding high, knock off Duke. People starting to talk about you. Justin Champagne, we talked about, an incredible year so far, still continues to play well. And the Deacs and Steve Forbes get the win. And good for coach, right? ACC conference win. And, man, was there a celebration in Winston-Salem or what, Wes?
Yep, there was. And it was at Coach Forbes' house, by the way. Cue the video, as they say. Steve Forbes goes home after the ball game. Career win 300, by the way, for Coach Forbes the other night against Pittsburgh. And he gets home. And what does he find? Now, this is not – first of all, we need to start thinking about the analysis, right, of what this looks like. Because we've seen Chris Mack roll Satterfield's house, Satterfield roll Chris Mack's house. We need to discuss with Coach Forbes maybe what's happening here.
Let me tell you what I can do for you, Coach. That house right there, I could sell that house for you for about $750,000 with the toilet paper.
Yeah.
That's got Charlie Brown Christmas tree written all over it. So, I mean, seriously, that's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree right there.
That
Look
is.
At that thing.
Yeah. But
great win, though.
Yeah, great win for Steve Forbes. Fun team to watch, aren't they?
They play
fun
hard.
Team. They play hard.
Sure do.
Yeah, play really hard. And, again, they're only 10 games in, but he gets a league win. Congratulations to the Deacons with the win over Pitt. Now, interesting situation for Pittsburgh, too, Pac. You got to kind of keep this thing going a little bit, right? You got to regain the momentum just because you take a tough loss. like the one in Winston-Salem. Now we get to find out, I think, in some respects, how much Jeff Capel's team's grown, right? That's how it. Do you bounce back from a disappointment like this? Losing to Louisville at home without Champagne and Tony, that's one thing. You had both those guys, and in some ways, you kind of got away from Champagne at points in the second half. How do you now respond? I think that's a question we're going to ask about Pittsburgh this week.
You know, he still scored 17, but, you know, you're not going to win them all. Even though Virginia fans are going, oh, yeah, we are. No, you're not going to win them all. But I think Pittsburgh has already established itself that, hey, when you play them, you better be ready to go because they are a bunch of tough guys and they're going to come get after you. And you're Wake Forest. You know, one of the things that Coach Forbes just want to do is change the culture that, hey, guess what? We may not have the most talented team, but I'll tell you what we will do. We are going to go get after people. And I think he's already proven that in a really, really short period of time. And they've pushed the limit with teams. You know, you tied up with 7 to go, 3 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go. Just haven't been able to get over the top. Well, they did Saturday night. And, again, congrats to Coach Forbes. It's good to see all that hard work pay off and you get a chance to sip what victory is all about. And probably plus it takes 3 minutes to clean up the toilet paper off your trees. This is not Louisville, right? this is not Coach Satterfield out there throwing out his shoulder, putting it on the highest limb, or Vince Tyree and that crew. That's a vindictive group up there in the cul-de-sac in Louisville. So for Coach Forbes, hey, take your 5 minutes, get the toilet paper cleaned up, and hopefully that's the first of many, many more.
I know what you're thinking, right? Are we ever going to get to Virginia and Georgia Tech? Sure we are. We're going to talk about the whole league. Because Seth Greenberg's coming up with us top of the hour. He'll spend a half hour with us. We'll cover it all. Cavaliers saved their best for last the other night, didn't they? Kihei Clark, who had struggled to score, ends up with the game winner. Louisville gets a big win over Duke. We got all sorts of things to cover with Coach Greenberg. It's kind of become a Monday ritual, to be honest with you. We'll talk to Seth Greenberg, hour two of Packer and Durham, coming up next.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.